Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Miss Goldie T Radio Show. First Lady with the Facts on Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives, and we're all about the independent artists, old school artists, new school artists. However, I got an exciting show for you tonight. I'm waiting for West Coast rapper Gonzo on the check-in. We're going to be chopping it up, getting the facts on his history with Ice Cube and Tupac and the Outlaws and Caution and the beef he has going on in the industry and Legacy Garden. I mean, we have so many things to cover. And I'm so excited about it. Big shout out to Kristen, always listening, always a rider for Tupac. Y'all got to follow her on Instagram, Kristen Parkins. I love her. She's super, super cute. And on that note, I am going to take it to one of my favorite independent artists, Vin Keaton, straight out of the BX. Make sure y'all go follow him also on Instagram. That's Vin Keaton. And here he is with Chocolate Kisses. And we will be right back with the Miss Goldie T Radio Show, First Lady with the Facts.
You've been missing, oh.
And if you have just tuned in, you are now live with the Miss Goldie T Radio Show, First Lady with Facts on Culture Zine Radio Network. And for those of you who are not aware, tonight we have a special guest on our show, Cali-born hip-hop artist Gonzo, formerly of the group Caution, which was signed to Ice Cube and the Lynch Mob Records. We're going to talk about his beef with Ice Cube, his beef with everyone concerning Tupac, and just how he rides. And we're going to get the 411. And if you are listening online, if you want to call in and ask some questions, the number is 646-668-8287. You can also hit me up at Miss Goldie to you on Instagram, Yonkers First Lady on Instagram. Send in your questions. Call up and let's get the facts. And for those of you, right after the show, we're going to be watching the A&E documentary about who killed Tupac. I mean, it's so deep. There's so many things to talk about. And we're going to get into all of those things. And while I was, you know, scouring through the atmosphere for tributes and things like that, I came across my son. Shout out to my son. He is doing it really big. He's an awesome, awesome lyricist. And here's his tribute to Tupac with Hail Mary.
All right, Peter Pac, the greatest. Fuck with us, but don't fuck with us.
Feel me?
I told you fuck boys, I'm in Pac mode.
And God said he should send his one begotten son to lead the wild into the ways.
All eyes on me is big as
follow
world.
Me. Keep my flesh, flesh of my flesh. Come with
his soul
me.
Is in me right now.
Hail Mary, one quick see. What do we have here now?
Black wall in this bitch.
La, 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 la.
It's my soul. I roll with killers, so don't push me. Been in Jesus' eyes a boy, and these niggas is pussy. When that 45 get loaded, then if I get unloaded, homicide looking, trying to find a motive. Pray to God, we see them all. Difference between me and y'all is I and I don't even need a car. I need Jesus, Mary, I need a law to bless my soul and not allow me to starve. Though I shine, they too blind to see he a star. Probably be praised when I die like great leaders are. Defeat us now, that's not an option. Ask the G's on the block, I'm in the top 10. Five niggas in they top 10, it's not men. When I die, bury me in the same spot Pox in. Mention me in the same breath, cause then death ain't death, it's immortality. I'm the last link of this chain left. The last G you have spitting his pain left. Last king left on the Ave, making that thing stretch. To invest so my son don't do the same mess. These rap niggas call it trapping, I call it playing chess. I'm Bobby Fischer, I don't bother with your amateurs. Lames get no dap, nigga. Rap to my manager so she can take advantage of you sucker niggas. Fuck a nigga, y'all could kiss my ass. Puck a nigga, no homo, but y'all already know that. I have choppers on your lawn ready to mow that. Before rap, it was crap packs and CeeLo. Niggas lose stacks and get clapped at for ego. Me amigos is criminals, generals, stand up G's, only niggas I done been around. So sitting down. Yeah, it's all eyes on me. I see you watching, you bitch niggas. It's all eyes on me. Keep watching me, nigga, you might learn something. It's all eyes on me. It's my song. I know they watching, they peeking and clocking. I'm going harder than tomorrow and I ain't thinking about stopping. I'm peeking and dropping hot shit after hot shit. I'm getting figures, you bitch niggas could gossip. I'm not a crip, I'm not a blood, but I'm a thug. I'm the realest nigga alive, word to mama love. I'm above the bullshit the suckers talk. The game is fucked up now and it's the suckers' fault. I'm on the court where these niggas say they ball at. Niggas that really play ball, don't recall that. I fall back cause fake is the new real. And since that's the deal, niggas is too real. If you still think trapping is a fad, acting trappers is trapped for life. Trapping cause they had nothing to eat, so nothing is sweet. We hustle day and night, so we stuck in the streets. Nothing can beat the feeling when the man feed his kids. So fuck it, it is what it is. I'm on a mission with a rider's ambition. It's me against the world, I'm gathering ammunition. Dear mama, I shed so many tears, so much pain and changes for so many years. If I die tonight, pour the low liquor for me. Baby, don't cry. And to my little homies, this is the realest shit I ever wrote. Picture me rolling gangsta party, yeah. And let them know I'm troublesome till I stop breathing. And I'm against all odds until I'm even. That's right. It's all eyes on me. I see you bitch niggas watching me. It's all eyes on me. Don't watch me, watch
and
TV.
And if you have just tuned in, you are now live with the Miss Golden to You radio show. First Lady with the Facts on Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives. And like I was telling you, I can't wait right now. We have the most controversial, one of the most controversial people in the industry right now. He just lets it rip on everyone. And I mean, I've been kind of keeping a following on him, and it's amazing the, I don't know if you want to say the loyalty, but he definitely has some sort of loyalty to himself as far as the game goes and what he believes in. And I mean, you can't mess that up. So I'm just going to get y'all a little familiar with who we're talking about here. And this is Tupac featuring Gonzo with This Life I Lead. And we'll be right back with the Miss Goldie T Radio Show. First Lady with the Facts.
This motherfucking life I lead. Shit. Hella motherfucking roadblocks and crooked cops. We still ride, though. West side. I'm counting money in large amounts. My garage full of cars that bounce. Moving my tapes a major way cause every dollar counts. Buses is jealous and half these niggas is pumped. They running off at the mouth till I fill it up with my pump. They jump my automatic, keep them wary. Why you fronting like you really badass? Nigga, you scary. I've been knowing you for years. We was high school peers in junior high. I was itching to kill when you was ready to die. Why you bullshitting niggas was dying and catching cases. Busting my automatics at motherfuckers in foreign places. Need even no break, they see my face and they
worry. Them bitches dying to hurry, still I ride. I'm never worried. Mr. Machiavelli tell me to ride, and I'ma ride. Pick my enemies out the crowd, and motherfuckers die. Not the way I wanna live. My nigga, it's how it is. Homie got into a fight last night, they killed his kids. In this life I lead, fee for currency, get high off weed. Collect cheese, make my enemies bleed. When you see me, nigga, holler my set and watch him ride. Outlaw motherfuckers till we die. In this life I lead, fee for currency, get high off weed. Collect cheese, make my enemies bleed. When you see me, nigga, holler my set and watch him ride. Outlaw motherfuckers till we die. In this life I lead.
Rolling the Philly up full of dank. Pour the remaining of my Remy Martin down the sink. Bank to get dressed. Grab my strap in case I'm test. Chronic and stressed. Awake the bitch to clean the mess. Wishing I was sober. Fucked up with a hangover. The homie just released. So the whole hood came over for the long bags. They piecing up on dime bags. Mackin' in the living room, shaking that ass. Talking fast to hoes, we pros at what we do. It's on and poppin' once we get this bitch full of brew. I knew some shit might crack, so we strapped and on thick. Swervin' niggas I see who ain't invited to the shit. Give a fuck, the life I live, that's how it is. Fuck around and be crying, missing your kids. My destiny in this motherfucking game is either to get rich or die.
In this life I lead, fee for currency, get high off weed. Collect G's, make my enemies bleed. When you see me, nigga, all of my set and watch them ride. Outlaw motherfuckers till we die. In this life I lead, fee for currency, get high off weed. Collect G's, make my enemies bleed. When you see me, nigga, all of my set and watch them ride. Outlaw motherfuckers till we die. In this life I lead.
When they see that nigga death, they say I'm dangerous. In this strange world, be that who just don't give a fuck. I mean, I stroke with the intentions, cutting it up like I supposed to. My job is to protect and rob and serve you. Who hold a genius? We the last that froze us breathing. Heathens got exerted to none that's left breathing. What I'm achieving is smoking weed and fucking hoes. Ain't going nowhere, no man is gonna strive me on the strong. I gotta make it happen every day and all day. I gotta make my hustle and come back with big pay. Put up the spotlight. Creating ruckus when I touch down. Who got my back when they put the attack down? So I lay out cold, terrified, terrified. Barely alive, come again when niggas start to ride. We see y'all all as a pounders, blast, I'm clowning on three. Nigga, you my motherfucking enemy.
In this life I lead, I free for currency, get high off weed. Collect cheese, make my enemies bleed. When you see me, nigga, all of my set and watch them ride out. Lower motherfuckers till we die. In this life I lead, free for currency, get high off weed. Collect cheese, make my enemies bleed. When you see me, nigga, holler my set and watch him ride. Outlaw motherfuckers till we die. In this life I live.
Don't wear song, selling dope, coke to crack. And Gotti entered the party from the back. It's the pack. I got to do it my way. Deserve to swerve on the highway. Cause the spot's on from Monday to Friday. Nigga, try me. I like the indica and tie weed. Defy me. And Gotti, when I be high as the sky, be verbal homicide. Be ready to rupture. Making moves to touch ya. Disassemble your whole structure. I makes money. Cause that's all I know how to make. That's all I learned when I was young. No hesitation, no mistakes. I see a pot filled with nothing but rocks and knots. Not midnight complexion, Glocks to shake spots. They see my people, so they already assume I live illegal. But they assume too soon. I got a tree for every bitch on the street. I roll with beat, I got a problem. I got a fixation for heat.
The life I live is treacherous. No one stands next to this. But still motherfuckers be trying to fetch this. Nutty nigga that brings heat to your set. Unloading 223s until your ass breathe death. Nigga, Eastside Oakland, no joking, we kicks up dust. No remorse, so you and your boys can suck these nuts. Extended clips, left his nose slended. I'm right-handed, but when it comes to the pistol popping, I'm both-handed.
This life I lead, free for currency, get high off weed. Collect cheese, make my enemies bleed. When you see me, nigga, holler my set and watch him ride out. Low motherfuckers till we die. In this life I lead, free for currency, get high off weed. Collect cheese, make my enemies bleed. When you see me, nigga, holler my...
You think I'm so full of it, but I think I'm just fed up, baby. You think I can be so arrogant, arrogant, but I'm just trying to keep my head up, baby. You think I procrastinate, baby, but I think I'm taking my time. You think you need to leave, but I think I disagree. But if you believe, you'll do best.
without me. I'll let it go, girl, it's over. But before we say goodbye, let's give it a try. If you leave, then baby, I'll leave. I'll let it go, girl, it's over. But I have no doubts, we can work it out.
You're so full of it, you just don't know when to let up, baby. I think you're so arrogant, arrogant, that you think you're so much better, baby. That I think it ain't healthy for me to judge you by your flaws, and that's why I know I could criticize, but I put that aside to focus on you and I. But if you before we say goodbye, let's give it a try. If you leave, yeah, yeah, I'll leave. I'll let it go, but it's over. But I have no doubt we can work it out, yeah.
Now if you wanna go, baby, then I'll let you go. And even though I'm trying to hold on, I can't if you don't.
Girl, now if you need me, you're gonna miss me. And I'm not saying that I'll be here waiting.
Since we're here right now,
instead of just walking out,
let's work to reach a point I know that we could be. But if you believe,
you do best without me.
I'll just call.
Yes, and that was Music Soul Child and my girl straight out of Yonkers, Mary J. Blige, with If You Leave. Shout out to everyone listening online. If you want to call in, the number is 646-668-8287. And thank you for logging on. And make sure that you continue to log on and follow all of the shows on the Culture Zine Network family, and make sure you visit the Culture Zine Network site and MissGoldieToYou.com. This is how you keep up with people. So, while we are waiting for our guest, Mr. Gonzo, straight out of LA on the check-in, right? So, we have Mr. Don Slims on the line. Big shout out to you, Don Slims. Hey, what's going on?
What it do? What it do? What's going on with you, Golden?
You know, just out here on the grind and everything, same thing. Like you, big shout out to Louisiana and shout out to New Orleans. They out there crushing them in the football game, right?
We do. You know, we try to do our thing. You know what I'm saying? I'm speaking like I play for the Saints, you know?
You know, yeah, that's how it be when it's, you know, when it's your city and everything. You feel like you on the team and, you know, That's how we go out there in that Good old NFL world. So what do you think about, have you been watching the A&E special about Tupac? Have you been following the special?
I've been putting it on the DVR, you know, but by me being so crazy with the schedule and stuff like that, they just piling up, you know what I'm saying? So I got to watch it. So, yeah, I'm behind a little bit, you know what I mean? You know? But I heard it's dope, though.
It's something you kind of got to watch over and over again because it's like, you're like, really? Like, did I just, you know, did I just hear what they said? And I mean, it's something really crazy that's going on. And big respect to the civil rights activists and attorney that's working on it because so many times things happen in our community and we fight for justice and we fight for justice for the wrong things. And like he was saying, just because he was a celebrity doesn't mean that we don't fight for the same type of justice on finding out who killed Tupac. So who do you feel like, who do you feel like killed Tupac?
Oh, man. To be real, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I can't even really say, you know, there's a lot of speculation going on out there, you know. I heard many stories, you know, saying how, you know, he was about to branch off and do his own thing, leave Death Row, and you know how it is when you're the cash cow, you know what I'm saying? People not really trying to let you just walk out like that. So, I mean, it could have been somebody that was real, real close to him, you know what I'm saying? Could have been anybody, you know, money talks. And, you know, I mean, they took out a legend, you know, and I mean, there's a lot of people saying he's in Cuba, you know, he's still alive, you know, I mean, the whole thing going on with the autopsy and cremating the next day, you know, they never do stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? So it's, I don't know. I gotta leave that with a question mark because, I don't really even know what's happening. But, I mean, maybe, you know, maybe Big Gonzo can all share some light.
It's a seriously mysterious situation. And it's kind of like the situation with Elvis. It's like Elvis fans, no Elvis fans want to believe that Elvis is gone. Like, they always want to look for another way to still, you know, have another story behind it. And there's so many other stories, and they're all so credible. I interviewed a guy at WWE TV at YouTube in New York a couple of weeks ago, and he basically had a lot of theories about what he thought different situations was between Tupac and Biggie. But at the end of the day, they was just like theories. Like, where are the facts? Does anyone have the facts? Please, please call me up. 646-668-8287. And hopefully Gonzo could come on the line and give us some of these facts. And and maybe we can all get some type of closure when it comes to this mystery of what actually happened, who did it, and why did they do it. Some people want to say the government did it, and this person did it, and Suge Knight did it, and Puff Daddy did it. I mean, who did it?
It's so many.
Right.
It's so many.
So,
you know,
yeah, hopefully we can get some good information on that. So far, I've just been getting a lot of speculation, and I will be watching the A&E series tonight at 9 p.m., and I have recorded all of them, and I've just been watching them over and over and over again, and it really breaks my heart to know that such an amazing young man who had so much to do and so many things to say really was senselessly taken from us. Basically, he was taken from all of us because there's so many people that mourn him every day. And, well, it's a big thing. And on that note, I'm going to take it to Tupac, me and my girlfriend, and we will be right back with the Miss Goldie TU radio show, First Lady with the Facts, on Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives.
Yeah.
Shit. You motherfucking right. I'm the bitch that's keeping it live and keeping it hot when you punk ass niggas don't. Nigga West Side, what? Bring it on.
Look for me, lost in the whirlwind. 96 Bonnie and Clyde, me and my girlfriend. Doing 85 when we ride, dropping this world of sin. Born as a ghetto child, raised in this whirlwind. Come on, I've showered years, recalling tears, heart laced with venom. Smoking shirt, drinking malt liquor, father forgive him. Me and my girlfriend.
Look for me, lost in the whirlwind. 96 burning your clock.
chap ways in this whirlwind. Look for me, lost in the whirlwind. 96 Bonnie and Clyde, me and my girlfriend. Lost in the whirlwind. 96 Bonnie and Clyde, me and my girlfriend. Meet.
And if you have just tuned in, you are now live with the Miss Goldie T radio show. First Lady with the Facts on Culture Zine Radio Network with Urban Culturalist. Big shout out to WWE TV everywhere that you want to be. And if you don't know where to be, just log on to worldwideentertainmenttv.com. And you can also subscribe to the YouTube channel, Worldwide Entertainment TV, on Apple and Roku TV. So, you know, we've been talking about our guests all evening right now. So on the line right now, I have a West Coast-born rapper, Gonzo. Gonzo, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, Miss Goldie?
Thank you for being a guest on the Miss Goldie to You radio show and also Worldwide Entertainment TV. It is such my pleasure. We got people on the line that can't wait to talk to you. Also, you know, people that love how you ride for Pac and everything. And I just want you to start off. I've been telling everybody that you was from Cali. We played a track with you and Pac, The Life That I Lead. And right. I've just been basically listening to a lot of your tracks, and you get, like, so crazy with it. And, you know, you don't have a problem with the truth. And that's what I so much like and respect about you. So, you know, you've been in the industry for a long time, and I want to take it back to the to your group Caution. Tell me about that group and what it was like being signed to Ice Cube and Lynch Mob Records.
Well, I mean, you know, that was a dope experience because me growing up in Los Angeles, of course, Ice Cube being from Los Angeles, and you know, Ice Cube being basically the moving mechanism behind the NWA shit in terms of the writing. You know, it was just dope growing up in LA and seeing NWA first from there. But then once I got a chance to work with them, that was just kind of like mind blowing, like a dream come true. You know what I mean?
So were you, like, traveling with Ice Cube and NWA when they had WC in the Mad Circle?
Well, WC in the Mad Circle, that came, he started, like, messing with Pac when Cube started Lynch Mob Records in terms of putting their albums out and shit. They'd been knowing each other for years, but
right.
WC and the Mad Circle was on Low Profile Records and shit back in the day. And a few other record labels, but, you know, they were more like Cube and WC was like more homies than anything before Cube got his record label back in the NWA days. But, you know, NWA days, I was probably 8 years old. I can remember going to an NWA concert when I was about 8 years old with my cousins and shit. But, you know, those guys is a little bit older than me.
Right, so it's safe to say that you came up in the industry era when hip-hop kind of took the crossover and became more of gangster rap. We all know that the Cali, the West Coast, I'm from the East Coast, but we all know the West Coast started the gangster rap and basically brought the reality of the streets to the studio.
Right, right.
So I listened to something.
You know, I was saying that when my first thoughts of rap music, you know, I can remember back in the day, it was basically, you know, Run DMC and, you know, shit like that. I can remember going to the movies, my grandmother taking me to the movies to see Beach Street and, you know, breaking and shit, you know what I mean? But, you know, the gangster rap shit came more of, in like late elementary, middle school type shit.
Right. So, tell me about I listened to your Ice Cube diss record. So tell me about the beef that you. It seemed like you just go ham on anybody who disrespects you, doesn't conduct business in a proper way. You don't have a problem with, I would say, giving the industry your ass to kiss.
No, because I feel like it's like, and I would say that record, he didn't deserve that. I will say that publicly. I was young. I didn't know the business at that time. And, you know, actually, what I made that record for, and I thought I was right, I was actually wrong, and he saved me millions of dollars. Like, I probably wouldn't be making no money today off anything if I would have, you know, if he would have done what I wanted him to do or whatever the fuck I was mad about at that time. It was, you know, he was right. You feel me? And all the business decisions, he's always been right about those. But like I said, when I was fully engulfed in dealing with business with Cube, I didn't really know the business. We was young, just still living with our mothers and shit, you know? But I always had that attitude. You... Like, he never scared me, though. You feel me? So I wasn't scared.
I don't think you're scared of anyone. So would you say that you regret your decision with how you handled the whole situation with Ice Cube? Where do you think you would be if you would have stayed with Lynch Mob Records?
Well, no, I don't regret it. I don't regret anything because it's life. It's happening. You know what I mean? I'm in a good place right now. I don't know. It's a lot of my friends who stayed in their situations. And, you know, they had when I went solo and had to build my career back up when, you know, I lost my deal on PolyGram and Mercury and went solo, it was a few years mm-hmm. to where there was a few cats that was doing better than me. But, you know,
right.
It was just those years that the struggle, you know what I mean? And once they spent all that little money up that they gave them, you know, it was the independent game started popping in. By the time everybody else caught on to it and caught on to the social media shit and the digital downloads and streaming, I had already been planting my flag for years. So, you know,
right.
it worked out for me because it's still a lot of cats right now. I don't want to say any names, but friends of mine who are still stuck in situations and major deals, and they really not getting no money. They got to do other things to get money, which we also should be doing. But I'm saying
right.
These are guys who are, you know, Grammy nominated. These are guys who got triple platinum albums, and you know what I mean? And really ain't getting no real
money. They don't have money.
Niggas ain't really, exactly. You feel me? Niggas ain't riding around in Ferraris, and you feel me? Can't go drop 50 in the jewelry store and get a good night's sleep. But you know what I mean? Like, it's a difference between,
right.
And I will say this, East Coast niggas and the down South niggas, you know, it's very few people on the West Coast who are entering the music game who have that mind frame. You know what I mean? It's so many hands in the pot before it gets to the actual person who deserves it. You'll never see someone reaping the benefits like that unless you like Nipsey Hussle. You know what I mean? But it's very few.
I think that's kind of going on everywhere. Everybody's selling their soul for these record deals and glorifying what's going on. And at the end of the day, they can't even buy themselves a meal because it's all owed out. Nobody's reading paperwork. Nobody's realizing that. I mean, I don't remember the last time I actually bought an album or a CD or anything. So I know they're not making money off of records. Only thing they can do is make rec money off of you being a new slave.
I tell you this, Miss Goldie. Miss C, you're never supposed to ask a woman her age, and I'm not, but I will say this. We're just not buying records. But right now, it's the most
right.
in the history of music in earnings.
Mm-hmm.
So cats are getting ridiculously rich right now. For instance, Lil Sean I ain't never bought a Lil Shine album, but that nigga just bought him a house for $6 million in L.A. That money ain't just coming out of
and
nowhere.
I don't even know who Lil Shine is.
I mean, Big Shine, not Lil Shine, Big Shine. My bad.
And he just bought a $6 million house, and I never even probably heard not one of his records, and that's a big reason why your interview was very important to me, because we don't really tap into the West Coast beyond Death Row or beyond NWA. It's like it's so many West Coast artists out there that have been putting in work like yourself for so many years already. It's like, where's your... I mean, I know you're getting checks because, you know, I watch your videos. You be popping heavy crap on the internet and everything. So tell us about
I'll clear that up for you. Shit. Again, the money situation over here, you got to know how to get it. You know what I mean? I really can't give up too much game. Just repeatedly, but every time I go on Instagram, every time I'm on Twitter, I'm trying to tell motherfuckers something to drop some sort of knowledge on them to where, you know, it, the game now is really not about conforming. That's it. Like, don't conform. You feel me? The minute that you walk into a record label, you already game goofy. You know what I mean? The minute that
right.
you're looking at your big homie for protection, you game goofy. The minute you let niggas go in your pocket talking about you need a manager and the motherfucker finna take 20%, when we all got smartphones, laptops, and can speak the same language, I mean, what is it that this guy is about to say or do? I mean, you get to a point where you need people to manage your business. I get that.
Right.
But when we're taking off right now, you better be, you know, like a mute or, you know, deaf and the you know, people can't speak silent. I don't know, but I don't understand why, you know, artists need validation from other people. And it's usually people that don't look nothing like us, culture vultures, who come in, you know
right.
what I mean, and getting a free check.
That's exactly what they're
That's
doing.
That's true.
As Don Slim's on the line, he's also from Cali and from New Orleans. So, he's also... I have a show on the Culture Zine radio network. So I want to get into this whole you being signed to Death Row and your introduction to the big homie Tupac.
Right. Well, I never was signed to Death Row. How that worked was Caution was managed by Suge's management company called Nightlife Entertainment, which managed Tupac, DJ Quick, basically every artist on Death Row except Caution and DJ Quick. So when they went and done shows and went on tour and shit and went on the All Eyes on Me tour and all that, that's how Caution and DJ Quick was on that tour, because when Suge went and opened up Club 662, you know, whenever them niggas hit the stage, we hit the stage, like whenever, because that was our manager, and, you know, he don't make money when we make money. So when they did a soundtrack,
right.
we was on the soundtrack. That's how we was on the Jackie Chan soundtrack. Or, you know, whatever Death Row was doing at that time, that's how Caution was on all of that shit. And that's what really caused the rift between Ice Cube and us, because... you know, Death Row was pushing the envelope, and we were like, man, why in the fuck we ain't making more money when we fucking Cube, when we making all this money with these dudes, you know what I mean? So now we kind of questioning him, and, you know, we like, damn, we might as well be signed to Death Row. So all that was about to happen.
Right.
And then Easy died, and then Pac died. And then, you know, niggas didn't know what was happening, you feel me? Because that was definitely in the cards. That week, Suge's wife at that time, Sharitha Knight, she had a meeting with Ice Cube. And all of us, you know, was supposed to meet at this meeting with Ice Cube. So she's sitting in Ice Cube's office with the other two members in my group. but Suge told me not to go. So I'm riding around LA with Corrupt. Man, Corrupt is riding around LA in his new Land Cruiser when the Land Cruisers had just came out. And the Lexus truck, excuse me. What the fuck? The Lexus trucks. So so we call in on the three-way. And, I'm, at this time, again, I thought being disrespectful was being tough and shit. You know what I mean? Like, I really didn't get it at this time. So I'm calling in and getting these instructions from Suge, knowing I'm about to go get a big-ass check because I'm about to fucking, sign a death row. But it didn't work out like that. I ended up, instead of me signing the death row, after telling Cube to fuck himself, and he like, all right, whatever, and just hung up, you know what I mean? And we never worked with him again. But I didn't sign the death row. I ended up signing the solo deal with Priority Records. With, Suge and his wife, they worked it out to where I wouldn't sign with Priority Records. But again, that was all, why would they do that? Because it ended up us still fucking with Cube. He was signing the Priority Records. So again, it enraged him. And he made Priority fire my A&R who signed me, which is Ben Baller, who does all the jewelry for everybody right now, and everybody be rapping about him, the Ben Baller jewelry, the Asian cat.
Right.
That was my A&R Priority. So Cube made Brian Turner fire him. Fired his ass. And matter of fact, I just talked to Ben this morning or last night, I forgot, but shout out to Ben Baller. But Cube got him fired and made them sell my contract to Polygram, which was closing at the time. So they sold it to fucking Mercury, which was also closing. So I ended up on fucking Private Eye, Mercury, and that's where my first solo album came out.
That's crazy. Yeah. So what are your thoughts about this A&E documentary that's coming on tonight and about them losing the gun that killed Tupac?
Well, all that shit is just being fabricated to get viewers and listeners. It's just like, it's basically turning into right now, yeah, we're all compelled. We know that they're not going to show us any fucking video of Bigfoot. We know that. We've seen every video of Bigfoot and every compelling video of a UFO. We've seen it all. But if some shit came on tonight about nigga Bigfoot, we all in front of the TV smoking the blunt like, nigga, fuck it. I'm a still going, nigga. I might, I don't even know. Like, I just got Bigfoot. I like the trees. I don't know. Feel me?
That's real.
This shit is bullshit, Goldie. Like, I'm so disgusted. It's just, and then, speaking of the yuck mouth shit, I'll just go ahead and break the fucking ice. This is why, man. It's like, these are people that I've been, dealing with for years in terms of, yuck mouth is an opportunist. You know what I mean? I would say I'm a loyal person. You know what I mean? But have you ever had a friend who always just was done some messy shit, you like, damn, man, we grew up together. Like, you feel me? Like, why? How could you be messy? Like, somebody always telling you so-and-so was talking about you. You like, nah, I don't believe that shit. You feel me? They're like, man, I'm telling you. They're like, man.
You know what's crazy is he was saying he don't know you. He don't know who you are. And he was saying all of this stuff. But then I clearly have a song that y'all did together. So,
wait a minute,
and
he
it's
said
like
he don't
a
know
video
me.
Of you from like 2009 or something where you were shouting him out.
Whoa.
So evidently he clearly knows you.
Goldie, this retarded, he said he didn't know me?
Yeah, he was like, who is he? I don't know him. He saying like you were some nigga that don't nobody know. That and whatever the other dude. Crazy face looking dude.
basically, it's a lot of people basically saying that you ain't nobody and you just making up these beats with them and they don't know who you are, but they talk about you like they know who you are.
Man, listen, Bosco is a nigga that lives in Inglewood with his mother. Feel me? Like, listen, it's not like, if nobody knows who I am, how did I end up on a song with Tupac? How did I end up with deals with Ice Cube? How did I end up on Billboard? How did I end up on Grand Theft Auto, which sold a billion video games in a week? Yuck ain't on that. I couldn't make time go in the studio and say, Caution in this bitch with my verse and him coming in rapping after me. Like, Yuck is stupid. Like, Yuck's been... Yuck.
Right.
I met Yuck Mouth with the nigga, with my big homeboy, Layla, from NWA at Summer Jam. Long-ass time ago, I don't know, maybe 96, 97, like back when the Loonies was popping, Caution was popping. You know what I mean? Me, him, and Tech Nine, and my cousin Fats. I mean, come on, man, that's ludicrous. I don't even have to explain this. If he said that he don't know me, we got to do an intervention because, you know, this nigga white.
You said we got to do an intervention.
His daughter was born. I mean, I've been around this nigga for 20 years. So if this is what I'm saying, it's like 20 plus years, more than 20 years. You know what I mean? And so if he's saying that, I can't even, that's like one of your first cousins coming home from jail and dressing up as Monique now. The nigga left as Dwayne. And now he don't want to acknowledge that he knows you. You like, get the fuck out of here. Nigga, it's Thanksgiving. I'm not trying to hear this shit. You feel me? I'm not calling you Monique. Like, come on, man. I'm not going to entertain that.
We got some other callers on the line. We got Kristen Parkis on the line. Gonzo, do you know who Kristen is?
Yes, I do.
Kristen, say hi.
I do know who Kristen Parkis.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm blessed.
While we got both of you on the line.
Oh, you know what?
I forgot
about something. Miss Goldie.
Yeah.
Are y'all familiar with the album that I just put out in September?
No. What album? Which album is that?
I just put out an album called The Cold in September.
Oh, The Cold?
And, yeah. And,
wait a minute. And it has...
it has Yuck Mouth on there. A song with me.
Where You At on there? Is that Where You At? Or, what song is that?
The song that Tech N9ne and Yuck Mouth is on is called, what the fuck is that called? Still Breathing.
Where You At?
Still Breathing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying, my point is, how can you not know somebody when you just rap on their album
two months ago
and said their name in the verse?
Right.
That's why I downloaded the song.
How can you not know nobody when you're in videos with me? Like, you just got to Google Gonzo and Yuck Mouth, and 10 to 15 videos going to pop up with me and him. Like, what's wrong with this dude?
Seen the videos and everything. That's why I put the question on the table for the people that are just watching what he's saying, basically trying to discredit you. Like, you know,
can
who
I tell
are
you why
you're
trying to discredit me? Let me just tell you this. I want to get this out there before I forget, because I'm not a real petty person, but now I'm about to be Tom Petty. I'm about to be King Petty. Nigga about to be real petty right now. Listen, all I'm saying is this. This is why he's trying to really just, like, avoid the question. Because, one, his own sister... And this is all my kids. I just sent them to Chuck E. Cheese right quick, just so I could get this off and them not bothering me real quick. Listen, Yuck Mouth has walked in the police station and said more than, where's my lawyer? Yeah.
why he don't, this is what he don't want me to tell y'all. Like, all this shit where, y'all seen TMZ. All you gotta do is Google Yuck Mouth right now. The first thing that's gonna come up is George Lopez. Yeah, the Mexican comedian. George Lopez clowning how this nigga gets robbed all the time in L.A. So,
wow.
Yeah, he basically said that he don't get robbed all the time. Did you watch his response to what you were saying?
I really didn't watch anything because I don't have to. Like, I don't have to. This is a Christian. Have you ever had someone that you really know, that you know that they be lying all the time because their eyes start twitching, or you don't even look for the twitch no more? Like, why do I have to hear his response? I don't have to prepare for anything. All this shit actually happened, and you can go on the internet and look, Google Spider Lope robbing Yuck Mouth. That's one incident.
Whoa.
Then Google Suge Knight robbing Yuck Mouth.
Damn.
Amazing.
I mean, you could just,
so I wanted to ask you, I got a question for you and Kristen. Do you guys know about the theory that they said that Biggie was wearing Tupac's jewelry after the quad robbery?
No, I never heard that before.
I believe that.
Have
I've
you?
I've seen that. And you
basically
know what?
What they're saying is that the jewelry was given to Biggie afterwards.
I believe that. I seen someone on the internet just today with but then again, you know what? On some real deal shit. And they're talking about a bracelet. But if I'm not
mistaken, talking about the ring, the chain with the cross on it. They're talking about the ring that Tupac had on his ring finger was on Biggie's pinky finger. The watch or the bracelet or whatever that was in the chain.
I believe that. The niggas is petty like that. I mean, it was actual beef. Like, come on. Like, this is what I'm talking about. If I catch, and I, you know, me and Yuck, we got love for each other, supposedly. But the shit could get out of hand. So if my niggas catch him right now, they're going to rob him again. They're going to be another videos on the internet. They have videos on the internet where motherfuckers is taking this man's jewelry into the jeweler, and the jeweler is telling them, man, this shit's fake.
Wow.
And, you know, it's not like just a Jesus piece. This shit is proprietary with his name on it. In diamonds.
Wow.
Supposedly, you feel me? But let me tell this story, man. This nigga, Suge, pulls up on Yuck Mouth and says, call the realest. The realest was at Yuck Mouth's video shoot 2 minutes away. He said, call the realest. The realest got some unfinished business with me that needs to be taken care of. Now, the realest is friends with us. We ain't friends with, I mean, we know Suge, but nigga, you ain't supposed to be taking no instructions. The minute you pick your phone up and follow this nigga's instructions, you a hoe. You follow one instruction, you a hoe. So, what does he do? He picks the phone up, calls his friend, sets his friend up, and does exactly what Suge says. He says, yo, meet me at the gas station. His homie like, for what? He's like, man, just meet me up here. He hangs the phone up. Suge says, I told you to meet, tell him to meet us at the grocery store in the parking lot, not the gas station. You think I'm stupid. And turned his back on him. That's when the eight niggas that was with Suge, one of them was the ugly nigga Bosco. Before Yuck got out the car, he took all his jewelry off and set it on the seat of the front seat of the car. Now, these is what the robbers is telling me. Just called me last week. The realest and the nigga from my other nigga. And no, these ain't the robbers. My nigga from the Pueblos, he was just there, but he a blood too. You know what I mean? So they didn't do nothing to him. And this is why Yuck was saying, the realest in them set him up because his homie didn't do nothing. No, nigga, the nigga he talking about, he from the projects. They wasn't going to touch him. He ain't no rapper. He a real blood. You feel me? And unbeknownst to everybody else, Suge's not no real blood. He took that shit and ran with it. This nigga was in college playing football and all that type shit. You feel me? It was this nigga's out here in the real world that was extorting him. Like, that nigga's not the biggest fish, and he got fears too. But we'll get to that in the next interview. Anyway, so
right.
Suge turns his back on Yuck Mouth. The niggas jump Yuck Mouth, and he plays like he's knocked out. So they get his jewelry out the front seat. As soon as they pull off with his jewelry, he gets up, gets in his car, and drives off. The next instant is this. Somehow this nigga ends up in the police station giving a statement.
Somehow
the police call Suge Knight. Somehow this end up on TMZ. If I'm lying, I'm flying. What? He ain't rich right now. He didn't sue Harvey Levin because it's true. TMZ not finna put this nigga on there snitching, giving a statement to the motherfucking police that he didn't do it.
Right.
Come on, man.
That's true.
This is why I don't exist no more. Because, you know, ain't nothing worse than having a snitch jacket. You know what I mean? And one of your best friends on the earth is telling.
That's real.
The biggest, one of the biggest challenges in... One of the challenges and questions that I have is, how do we properly honor the legacy of Tupac? And everyone knows that I work over at Legacy Garden Park, which is formerly the Tupac Shakur Art Center. And a lot of people say, you know, Tupac wasn't from Georgia. Why is his thing in Georgia or whatever? That's where his mom wanted it. And, I mean, if anybody want to question that, that's who they need to question it with. Is this is what she wanted, and this is where she put his statue in the, it's bricks in the ground that Kristen has a brick in the ground, and it's just so much of their spirit and the things that she wants, the things that she wanted for that community. So right now it's Legacy Garden Park, in which we still want to honor the memory of Tupac and Mr. Fini Shakur. So we had a GoFundMe, and Worldwide Entertainment TV did the media blitz on the center opening back up and what the mission of the center was to, you know, honor Tupac, put a new statue there, and turn it back into a center to help the community and help the kids. So TMZ, again, got wind of the story and made it go viral. And, of course, we got that good old letter that, you know, stopped us from raising the money for the statue and for the center. And I mean, if it wasn't for people like you and people like Kristen and a few other people, people would get so sidetracked with the memory and the honor of Tupac. And we don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen. Someone who comes from the hip hop era, I met Tupac when he was in New York with Tretch and Film and Juice. This is when I met Tupac, and I met Ice Cube and Eazy-E and everybody when they was in New York on tour, and with Jermaine Dupri being the record boy. And this is where I come from, the era where you come from, where this all started from, and when people had a goal and a mission. And now those goals are being so sidetracked, like people that you're talking about, that's not even honoring the culture. They're not honoring what he taught. And what do you feel like we could come together and do to make sure that that statue goes up in that Legacy Garden Park?
Are you talking to Gonzo or are you talking to me?
Gonzo's call got dropped. He's going to have to call back in. I'm like, oh, my God, where's Gonzo? Hey, Kristen. So, wait, we have another caller on the line that's been on the line for a minute, calling from Georgia. Who do we have on the line? Oh, they call got dropped too. Everybody's call is getting dropped. So, Kristen, what do you have to say on this situation? What do you feel like we can do?
I don't know. It's really sad because the fans, they just, I don't know what's wrong with them. They just don't want to give. I don't know what their problem is. They want to post his pictures all day, but they don't want to give. I don't have a solution. I don't know what to say.
Really, and I see people invest money in so many other things, like as if we had a strip club or if we had a liquor store or a club or something of that nature. It seems like they support those type of things quicker than they support things involving the arts and children and nurturing our community.
I know I tried to, when the center was open, I tried to get the other fans to send money there. And there were a few fans that did, but they always have an excuse. They don't have no money. I said, if everybody would just send a dollar, you know, he's supposed to have millions of fans worldwide. If everybody would send a dollar, and, you know, they had excuses. They couldn't afford to send no money. They would, you know, they just said terrible things. And I don't even want to repeat the things that they said, but it was just sad. It was very heartbreaking. I know one of their biggest beefs is they said if his music would come out, they could make money, you know, if they put more of his music out. I know they made comments like that.
But if even if more of his music got put out, the money would go to where it been going, which is the record label. It wouldn't come to, you know, his mom kept the center running off of albums that was put out after he was gone.
I know. And she put her own money into it. She kept it going by herself, you know, and that was terrible.
Right.
You know, that she I feel guilty. Personally, I feel like the fans didn't do enough, and I feel like some of his celebrity friends could have done more as well. Everybody could have stepped up and done more.
I definitely feel the fans and the celebrity friends could have, they still could do more. And it's like, are we just going to let his legacy die? What's supposed to happen? We just going to keep wearing T-shirts and we going to keep watching the videos. And it's like nobody's taking into action. That's like being part of a church and never actually practicing what you're taught.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I push as hard
John,
as I can.
What do you have to say about this?
Huh? John, what do you say?
What do you have to say?
Hey, I agree with it 100%. You know, he had millions of fans. You know, when it comes down to it, and it's like that even on Pac level, Pac situation, and anybody else, it could be somebody that was known in a particular city, a particular state or region. And when it comes down to it, something happens to that person or whatever, and let's just say, you know, God forbid, they don't have an insurance plan, you know, you got to say, okay, well, we can't bury him and put him away like he wanted to go, so we got to cremate him because no one is putting up any money. It's like people don't care. You know, and that's sad for you to have that many followers and people can't put up just like a dollar. Like she said, $1, man, could,
right.
I mean, come on, we could do anything we want with just a dollar concerning Tupac and preserving his legacy. $1, that's it. But there's so many excuses going around why I can't do it.
Mm-hmm. From a million people could definitely change the game.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
I just feel like when his mom worked so hard to do something, like she didn't want his legacy just to die. She wanted to do something. And it's like now it's up to us over at the Legacy Garden to make that happen. And we were in her family. And the actual people that own Legacy Garden, shout out to Mr. Jim Burnett and the Burnetts and Rah Rah Entertainment. they weren't big Tupac followers to even know, like, what was in their hands. It took them to learn from the few fans that did pop up and reach out to them, and Rolling Stone magazine showing up and things like that made them know the importance and the value of what Legacy Garden actually is. And I'm definitely going to be doing everything I can to preserve that. And I would want my legacy preserved at all costs. That's what I know.
Right, right.
So, I don't know if we're going to get Gonzo back on the line, but he is such an awesome character. And, I mean,
yeah,
he tells it like it is. And I appreciate
his
honesty.
Cracking up.
And his
I do know that there was a fan. I do know there was just a fan that said that he wished that, you know, like Pac's stuff is scattered all over, like he's got stuff at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and, you know, he's got stuff in Vegas, and they were saying that we shouldn't have to travel the country to see all his stuff. And I said, well, he did have a place where he had a bunch
right.
of stuff and people weren't supporting it. And I said, and I feel very, very guilty about that personally. And I said, and the other fans should feel guilty. And you know, I blame it on, like I said, the celebrity friends and the fans, because we didn't step up and do enough to do what we could to help Afeni to keep the place open. So he just,
right.
you know, was saying that he wished that there was a place where we could go, you know, to honor him. And I said, well, that place is gone now because the fans didn't step up. So there was a place and now it's gone. And, you know, I don't mind traveling. I'll travel the world for Pac. I don't mind traveling.
You sure
but,
do. You sure do. Chris said, though, my Asia everywhere, traveling around on the anniversaries. And it's people like you that give me the willpower to make it more important. And we appreciate you so much. So I don't know,
thank
WWE TV just notified me that Gonzo was going to call back in. So we see if we can get this firecracker back on the line. You know, the industry, basically more so than the fans, the industry should have stepped up. They always stepping up for other stuff. They stepped up for the little boy that got bullied at school. And they step up for different things. I don't know if it has to be so newsworthy for them to step up. And, you know, big shout out to T.I. He talked all of that stuff about the statue and how the statue.
That infuriated me. I was so angry when he was talking about that statue. It pissed me off. I love T.I., but I was like, you need to shut up talking about that statue.
We have yet to get a visit from him to take us up on the offer that he would donate his resources for statue. So now here we have Mr. Nigel Benn still has the statue. And we need the statue back where it was at.
Right.
Basically.
Right. I mean, they have a lot of artists, rappers, you know, singers, whatever, who always bring Pac up as their influences, you know, and some of those same people will spend, you know, $250,000 on a Bentley or something, you know what I mean? Easy, but
right.
can't give $10 or something or whatever, you know what I mean? It's, I think, personally, I think it was because of the type of dude that Tupac was, the music that he put out, the message he was putting out, you know, them quote unquote folks didn't like that. You know what I'm saying? So if there's anything that they can do to knock what everybody else trying to do to keep his legacy alive, they go do that, you know? So, you know, it's just crazy. It's crazy to me.
Well, we're going to start we're going to start a Tupac Statue Challenge Fund, since they always want to do, since people don't follow stuff unless it's a challenge.
Right.
We
need to get started
right.
on the challenge of,
mm-hmm.
you know, getting on to this. And I will definitely be watching Mr. Benjamin Crump and his team in Time for Justice with the whole Tupac story. And, you know, like he said, they're never going to show us Bigfoot.
Right, that's true.
What do you think, Kristen?
What do I think about who killed him?
Yeah.
It was Orlando, but I'm not sure anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Not even after the guy admitting that he was in the car with Orlando?
It could have been somebody else in the car.
Mm-hmm.
You said what?
It could have been somebody else in the car.
Well, he said it was him, Orlando, and two other dudes, and that Orlando pulled the trigger. So do you think he just basically made that up to get out of trouble?
Who said that?
Or it was,
who said that? His uncle? His uncle?
No, it wasn't his. Who? It was, yep, it was Orlando's uncle.
Yeah, Keepy said that. Well, there was other people in the car besides Keepy and the uncle.
Yeah, he said it was four of them in the car.
Mm-hmm. It didn't have to be Orlando.
It could have been like one of those, like the old game, pin the tail on the donkey. It could have been them just pinning the charge on him. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's possible, you know. I mean, because I mean, I know dudes who took charges for other dudes, you know, when it came down to, you know, holding weight and stuff like that. You know, they wasn't the ones selling it, but because of that one person, you know, that actually did it and was doing that out there, you know, they already had two strikes, so that third strike they would have been gone, so somebody else took the charge. I mean, it could have been something like that, you know. You just never know.
Yeah, I definitely don't believe that Suge was doing it, because they did say in that one show that if he had been a few inches forward, he would have got shot in the stomach. They showed that, like the ballistics and stuff. I don't believe that theory.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that at all.
Right.
So do you believe that Suge would have put his own self in harm's way just to get Tupac?
No.
Me either.
Nope.
I mean, he had plenty of other opportunities where he could have got him by himself.
Yeah. No, I don't believe that. And I truly do believe that they had a real relationship, that they had a real bond. You can see it. You can see when they're interacting. That was genuine. That wasn't fake. That was genuine. You could tell that they loved each other like brothers. And I do believe that.
Right.
I do too. I definitely believe that too. I don't believe that, even though they saying, you know, he would have lost his money. I don't think he really would have lost his money, because even if he was going to distribute Machiavelli Records through Death Row, Death Row would still win it.
Mm-hmm.
They would have still made money.
Right.
I don't know. The theories are all so crazy. And hopefully tonight we get to...
And I don't believe that he's alive either. I don't believe he's alive in Cuba. To me, I think it's ignorant. People will come and argue with me, and I'm like, I'm not arguing with you. If you believe that, that's what you believe. I don't believe it. So please stop telling me why you think he's alive, because I don't. Afeni said he was dead. I respect what she said, you know. So some people have asked me, why didn't I ask Afeni, like, if he was alive and in Cuba? And I said, that's extremely ignorant and disrespectful. Who would say something so ignorant to his mother? You know,
his
I
mom,
said, if that's
right.
how you feel, Yeah, they're like, why didn't you ask Afeni if he was alive and in Cuba? I'm like, that's really ignorant and really disrespectful. And I said, and I don't believe that anyway. And I said, and anybody that would say that to her is ignorant. And
right.
If that's how you feel, then that's how you feel. But I don't feel that way. So, you know, I'm not going to argue with people over it.
Right, right. It's like,
so what about
horse.
The pictures that they showed of him and Madonna? Do you think those are old pictures?
Photoshop.
He dated Madonna.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's
and
right.
They dated Madonna. They showed some pictures that Madonna spent her 50th birthday in Cuba with Tupac.
Well, I think that's ignorant. And if they do have pictures, they would be photoshopped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you really
and you know, let's just say, I don't believe that he is, but let's just say that he is alive. Let's say that he was alive, which I truly 100% don't believe he is. Even if he was alive, leave him be. If he did fake his death and he's over there chilling in Cuba with Asada, like the people say that he is, then leave him be. If that's what he chose, then we would need to respect that and leave him alone. But that's
right.
Not what I truly believe. But even if he was, you know, then we need to respect what he chose to do, and we need to leave him alone. That's how I feel.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that, too.
Right.
Anybody that would go through the extreme to walk away from a whole life wants to be left alone.
Yeah,
yeah. And if that's what he did do, then respect it. I'm sorry, what was that?
I love Tupac. I know you love Tupac. And
indeed.
I appreciate the way you keep everything so clear and in black and white, and you always check the facts and everything like that. And, you know, it's a lot of people just running around saying things and talking and don't really know what they're talking about. And I mean, at this point, I kind of feel like I'm becoming an expert on this whole situation. So I appreciate everyone who was listening, everyone who called in. It's been a really exciting show. And we're going to get back to this again, especially after this A&E special. Next Tuesday, we're going to chop it up and talk about this again. And Kristen, thank you so much for calling in. You're always welcome to call in to the Miss Goldie T Radio Show. And big shout out to Don Slims, always holding my radio show down. We also have someone else that was listening from Louisiana. I don't know if they wanted to talk to us or not, but big shout out to you too. And if you missed this episode, you can always go back to the site and go to the on-demand episodes. You can go to my page. I will post it on my Facebook, Miss Goldie T Radio Show page. And I would like everyone to have a good night. And on that note, I'm going to take this out of here with Gonzo featuring Tupac and the Dog Pound. And we will see you next week on the Miss Goldie T Radio Show, First Lady with the Facts, on Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives.
Like this. Blasting. Bitch. I got my pistol cocked and my knife. About to slice this nigga windpipe, throwing top, swerving me on the dice. Nigga thought he was nice with the slickness, but the nigga I am, Sam, the script with the quickness. Respect the game, the lame niggas die slow. Horses fly straight like Frank Fitz, Scarface. From the Glock to lab waste, digging out your chest plate. I'm straight, trimming you for your wins and hit the gate. I'm not waiting, thinking which way I'm running on my escape. Hop on a 210 and wait for you to retaliate the terrorists. Doing all niggas we... Clock never miss. Do your grill.